Psalm 12, we've been looking at on Sunday nights, the series of Will Ye Also Go Away? And we saw the last couple of weeks two areas that would keep a child of God close to the Lord from walking away from Him. And one was the declaration by Peter saying, Thou hast the words of eternal life, and Thou art that Christ that it was spoken of in the Old Testament and prophesied. He was the very Christ. I'd like to look at tonight a second part to that of remaining faithful. We ought to remain faithful. You know that already. And you, dear folks, are so faithful to the Lord. So I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's a good reminder for all of us to remain faithful, not to go away and keep focused. Psalm 12, you know, Psalm of David, he says, Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. So David speaks and he says, Lord, you have to help us. You have to help me. The godly ceases. The faithful fail. Doesn't that remind you of today? The faith, where are the faithful ones, right? Where are the faithful people? Where are they when we need them the most? And we got to remain faithful. Stay focused on the Lord. Don't go away. Jesus says he saw them walking away. He didn't turn and beg them to stay, right? He didn't say, oh, come back. I'm sorry for what I said. I didn't mean to offend you. I'll change my doctrine. What? No, what's he say? He turns from them and looks to the faithful. And he says, will ye also go away? God doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. Doctrine doesn't change. He says, will you accept who I am and what I am? Now, so the psalmist, or David in particular, he asks the Lord to help for his help because of that fickleness of the people. The fraud, if you will, of those. They said they would and they didn't. They came when everything was good and grand and they went away. Like we looked at this morning, the men of Ephraim. They said, now, why didn't you call us? Huh? When the things were going, no, they came after the victory was done, after the victory. So we see here, as we know now, the Lord will cut off all flattering lips, a tongue that speaketh proud things. Now, Solomon also proclaimed in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, he says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, what? Who can find? Who can find the faithful? They're a rare breed. It's a rare thing to find someone faithful. And the Lord Jesus says, you're going to go away? Go away. But you're going to stay. I have some things for you, and you'll be my disciples indeed. We live in a day of unfaithfulness. Husbands and wives are unfaithful. Parents are unfaithful to their children. Children are unfaithful. Employers are unfaithful. Employees are unfaithful. Boy, we could go down the list. It's hard to find someone who's faithful. Faithful. As long as it is to their advantage, they'll stand and stay, but when it looks like it might go against them, they turn and walk away. Perhaps this comes, we know, too much emphasis on being true to yourself as our world does. Be true to yourself. Stay faithful. Everyone listen, right? Girls, look right up here. Listen, okay? Now, everyone's staying faithful, he says, right? Don't walk away. When it goes to our advantage, sure, I'll stay. The emphasis must be put on pleasing him. Now, we talked about that. I'll skip ahead here a little bit. We have a need today for faithful men and women. We need it. We need more people to stand, not when it's easy, but when it is tough, they stay the course. The greatest ability, you know, is dependability, isn't it? Dependability and staying faithful to him. Anyone can be dependable if he chooses or she chooses to do so. It doesn't require a great deal of skill. It requires character. So now, number one I have here, notice, God sets the example of faithfulness. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you will. Deuteronomy 7, and notice what is said here. In Deuteronomy 7, as you're turning there, God sets the example for faithfulness, doesn't he? Faithfulness. And so as we see this, he brings it out, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 in particular. And let's read verse 8, in fact. It says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Notice this, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We have a faithful God. He's faithful. He's described as a faithful God. Faithful. One of the key attributes of our Savior is that He is faithful. He stands true. He doesn't give up on us. People say, why are bad things happening? Why do I go through difficulties? God looked away. He turned His back. He took His hand off my life. No, He didn't, did He? He's still there. He's still there. It's like the old couple driving down the road in the car. And when they used to have those, you know, the bench seat in the middle. And eventually over time, the wife, she sat right next to him, right in the middle, you know. Eventually over time, she's over on the other side of the car near the passenger door. And she says, well, honey, what's going on with our marriage? What happened after all these years? We used to be so close. We used to sit together. He said, honey, I'm not the one that moved, right? I didn't move. God doesn't move. God doesn't move. We are the ones that draw back, as Paul will later say. Now, God sets the example of faithfulness. God is faithful to save all who come to Him. Clearly, John 6:37, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God's faithful, secondly, to deliver us from temptation and evil, 1 Corinthians 10, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. God is faithful to preserve us for heaven, 1 Thessalonians 5. God's faithful to keep us when we doubt, 2 Timothy 2:11. God's faithful to keep us when we're persecuted, 1 Peter 4:19. God's faithful to forgive us when we sin, 1 John 1:9. God's faithful to one day judge this world and set everything right. And so you see here that God is faithful. He's faithful to us. Should we not remain faithful to Him? Staying true, staying faithful. How many times do you think in your life, I know in mine, I think, boy, God should have let me go. God should have taken His hand. God should have just said, just go ahead and do your thing. Go ahead and go for it. But He didn't. He kept remaining faithful. Now, will you remain faithful? As Peter proclaims and says, Lord, where else shall we go? There's nowhere else to go. Nowhere else. We can't go to anybody else. You are that Christ, and you are and have, excuse me, the words of eternal life. So Christ sets the faithfulness. Number two, let me say, God requires faithfulness. Now, you know this. 1 Corinthians 4:2, we've read this before. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found fickle. No, faithful. Faithful. It's easy to be fickle. The Christian life can and should be very simple, as we saw. It's simply a matter of being faithful to our Lord. This begins with accepting our position of stewards of God's property. God owns us, right? Don't forget that. God owns us. God owns everything about us. If you're truly a child of God, even the unsaved, God owns them, right? He paid the price for us as believers, but He created all things. Now, God requires that in the life of the believer. We realize we do not own anything. All belongs to God, and this is the basic motivation for faithfulness. I'll be faithful to God because, why? He owns me. He asks me to do something, I'll do it. He asks me to go somewhere, I'll do it. The life that we live is not our own, but it's Christ. Now, Galatians 2:20, Paul reminds us and says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now note what he says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. Paul says it's because of Christ. I don't live unto myself. So our lives, our bodies, let her be. We live in that we live in now is not our own, we know. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? I wish more people would realize that. I wish I would have known that when I was younger. How much damage you can do to your body by intaking certain things and partaking in certain things you shouldn't. And so many people just degrade their bodies. They don't think anything of it. They don't think it's anything's wrong with it. But we realize, oh, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple. You're bought with a price, he says. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, apostrophe S, right? Possession. He owns us. Now, we understand and come back to, why be faithful? Well, God owns us. Peter points it out so clearly. God, there's nowhere, Lord, there's nowhere else to go. You own us. We believe you're that Christ. You're everything that we could ever need. And so sad that so often it takes the very end, doesn't it, for people to realize that. When they're at the bottom of the barrel, they got the last penny in their pocket. They go, well, I guess I'll need God now. Heard a guy just last week saying that. I ain't got nothing. I'm down on my luck. Got all these problems. I guess I better turn to God now, huh? No, that should have been your first option, your first choice, right? So many fail, to adhere to that. And again, it comes back to not knowing the scriptures. Let me say here next, the material possessions that we claim and have our names on are not ours, but His. I remember in middle school one time, I had some wrestling shoes. I was in wrestling, and I was about 66 pounds, and they made you wear those funny-looking suits, you know, and it was really embarrassing, but I had some wrestling shoes, and they were expensive, and I didn't put my name on it. And the coach said, you better put your name on everything you have, or someone's going to jack it. They're going to steal it. I didn't put my name on my shoes, and sure enough, somebody stole my shoes out of the locker there. And I went to the coach. I said, Coach, somebody stole my shoes. He said, okay, well, who is it? I don't know, I said. He said, well, did you have your name on them? I said, no. Well, like four guys had the same pair of shoes I had. So we're looking around, and I didn't find them. And a couple days later, I found they were sitting on a bench. I don't know if the kid felt bad or got convicted or something. He left them there. And I knew they were mine. Anyways, I thought about that. We put our names on stuff, don't we? We put our names on things. Well, this is mine. Don't touch it. This is mine. Maybe some of you kids have your names on your toys or something. Put your initials on it. Don't touch it. That's mine. God says everything is His. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Exodus 19, 5, the earth is mine, He says. Deuteronomy 10, 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Isn't it funny, these people that are marching today and protesting, and some of these people talking about Mother Earth and how they're going to do this and that, and you know, the earth, if it'll open up and just produce for, they're talking all this weird nonsense I read the other day. I'm going, what in the world? We'd come back to it's God's. It's God's earth. It's God's world. And we follow it. We follow what God wants us to do. Oh, my friends, we know we can remain faithful. Why? He owns everything. There's nowhere else to go, Peter said. Nowhere else. Psalm 50, verse 9, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills, the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine, the world is mine, the fullness thereof. And Haggai 2, verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. People, their concept is so skewed. Thinking about it, it's all about the gold, all about the silver. God says it's mine. It's mine. Now let me say here, next we have the privilege of being stewards. The privilege, it's a true privilege. All that He requires of us is that we be faithful. Isn't that amazing? The one thing in Scripture, in the New Testament, says require is what? To be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Now Samuel in the Old Testament makes mention of that as well, if you recall. He says, what does the Lord require of you? What? And it boils down to what? Love the Lord. Be faithful to Him. You know, serve Him with all your heart. And again, he says now, required in stewards is to be faithful. God's not asking us to do great, mighty things, although He will. He's asking you to be faithful. You can do that. Luke 16, 10, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Also in much. Understanding. Let me skip ahead here. Number three, though, God also, He gives some simple tasks to prove our faithfulness. He says, will you be faithful? He gives us tasks. He proves us. Again, I've said before, but a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted, right? A faith where people say, oh, I love Jesus, serve Jesus, praise God, all doing all this stuff, you know, but they never endure anything. When the first trial comes, they, oh, I can't do it. God says, I don't want that. I can't use you. I cannot use you. I've got to use somebody who is tested and tried and true. The other day, I went to the hardware store and bought some snips for the trees, you know, trimming up some of the branches, and I saw the good brand, and I saw the cheap brand. And knowing me, I'm such the cheap brand. I went to the cheap. Ah, cheap's fine. It'll work fine. I'm just kidding. First thing, poof, the handle went poof, bent. You got to be kidding me. And it, you know, the good kind, it's solid steel. The handles would go all the way. This kind had some kind of aluminum little sleeve on the thing, so it made it look like it's sturdy. It just bent. And I was trying to look for the made in China thing. I couldn't find it anywhere, but I was sure it was made in China. And sure enough, I thought about that. Man, cheap stuff, right? Junk. And he proved, in a way of proving, you know, he wants to prove us. Are we going to stand the test? Stand it. God gives. Now, let me just say a couple things. Just daily things, daily Bible reading, daily study. Are we taking time? Can he prove us there? Can he prove our faithfulness there? We got to read it. You know it. Believe it. Study it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Obey it. All of that. But just little things, little steps. that God does to prove our faithfulness. How are you doing in those areas? I know I could use some work. Prayer and supplication. Were we talking to God, expressing our hearts to Him, praise Him for who He is, for what He's done, being thankful. I love the old song, count your many blessings, you know. Count your many blessings. I got to find that song. I'd like to sing that. But that's a great song. You think about God, all God's done. Ask Him for things you need. Ask Him for things that you even want. Do you know God will give you what you want? Isn't that true? What you want? I'd really like that new toy and that thing over there. I'd really like that over there. We mope and groan if you're like me. I can't have it. God says, why don't you just ask me for it? I'd help you, you know. Why don't you just ask me? I'll give it to you. And He's there to help us. Now, not all the time. He knows exactly what we need. Public worship I have here. Hebrews 10:25, you know, He says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be a member of a local church. We need to be a regular attender of their meetings, what they held. Old adage goes back in the 70s was 3 to thrive. Remember that? 3 to 5. Thrive. And you're taking time to assemble together, be a part of the workforce, be a part, be involved. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Every one of you do over and above what is even asked of you here in this church. I'm so thankful for you. But just thinking about, boy, God proves our faithfulness, doesn't He? We ought to, letter D next, cheerful giving, have cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7, you know, cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, someone who has the right attitude and spirit, a spirit about it. Tithe, we know, tithe, giving love offerings when you can, give a faith promise if or some kind, whatever you feel God's leading you to do, by way of, by way of your giving. I'll skip a few verses here. Next, a compassionate witness. We need to be a witness. He proves that in our lives. And not always do we have the time and even the circumstances to sit down with a coworker and open the Bible, go through the whole step-by-step process, but we can be a faithful testimony and a faithful witness. Encouraging each other, helping each other. Now, we've got to tell others about Christ. Show them the way to live. Now, coming back to this, are you faithful? God wants to prove in our lives and prove us that, number one, He is faithful and that we can be and should be faithful to Him, right? Being faithful. As those disciples or would-be disciples walked away from Christ, Christ said, go for it. God's not twisting any of our arms. Isn't He a wonderful God? You don't have to come to church. And God will still love you and take care of you. You don't have to give. God will still bless you. You don't have to submit your life and serve Him. And you don't have to tell anyone else you're a Christian. You don't have to do any of that. And God will still love and take care of you. But I'm telling you, you're missing the higher life, if you will. You're missing that deeper life that God says, I want you to experience with me. Experience. Those people, as Jesus expounded there in John 6, as He expounded the scriptures, and they said, well, what can you give us, Lord? God gave us manna out in the wilderness to our fathers. What can you give us? What can you give us? Isn't that typical of people? What can you give me? What can you help me with? What can you do for me, Lord? And then I'll serve. Then I'll be faithful. Then I'll be faithful. That's not how it works, though. And Jesus said, I am that bread. I am that bread that came down from heaven. And Peter says, you are that Christ. That Christ. Are you faithful today? Will you remain faithful? Don't turn back. Don't turn back. I found this and I love this. And it's titled, No Turning Back. Listen to this. It's a proclamation. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living. Small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by His power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. And my mission clear. I cannot be bought, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. No problem. I love that, don't you? I won't give up. I won't. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. And say what you will, let them turn their backs. Let them go away. Not us. Not us. If it's just six of us, if it's just five of us, if it's 15, so be it. Let them turn away. Let them forsake the house of God. Let them turn their backs on the Bible. Let them struggle. We will not stop and will not let up. I won't. I won't stop until he comes, until he takes me home. And at my funeral, I know you have the same at yours. They'll say, he finished his course with joy. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. She did not quit. She raised those kids and took care of them and led them in the way of God. I won't quit. When he comes for his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me. He knows who we are, but he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful. You stayed faithful. When all others forsook, when all others went away, you stayed and you stuck. Now, just by way of ending here, will you remain faithful? Will you stay steadfast and true? Why? God's not twisting your arm. Christ isn't twisting our arms. What is it? He's asking us to. And he looked to the disciples and said, will you also go away? There's a question. Jesus, you should look up in your study how many times Jesus asks a question. Questions convict, statements accuse. And he always asked a question. Will you also go away? Whom do men say that I am? He knew what they thought. He asked a question. And he wanted a response because out of their hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Peter boasted and said, you're the Christ. You are that Christ. You have the words of eternal life. We have no place else to go. That ought to be ours today as well. Amen? I hope you stay faithful. Thank you, by the way, for being faithful. Thank you. I don't say that as near as much as I should. Thank you for remaining and supporting this church, not only financially, but with your presence especially, your faithfulness, your prayers, your help. Oh, I can't imagine trying to do any of this alone. And I just want to say from my heart, thank you very much. Every one of you, thank you for being faithful. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Amen? Okay, I'll stop there. Let's pray, Lord, thank you for the opportunity again tonight to share your word. Lord, I thank you for that God, none of us are going to quit until you come or you call us home. We would finish our course, as Paul said, with joy. And we would remain with you. Our heart's desire, Lord, is to remain faithful, but we know this world beats against us, and there's often so much turmoil and so much pressing against us, God, to quit and to back off and to just kind of compromise in certain areas. But, Lord, strengthen us through your word, through the Holy Spirit, to remain faithful and true to you who loved us and gave yourself for us. Oh, how we love and thank you. God, guide our week this week. Please protect us as people, your people. Give us the strength to be the right testimony and witness we're called to be, Lord, myself especially. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen.